Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
But today I want to continue our series entitled Renewed, in which we've been talking about different areas in which God renews our life, or we believe that God needs to renew us. And today specifically I want to talk to you about renewed miracles for the church, renewed miracles for the church. I believe that God wants us to walk in kingdom power and that God wants to do miracles in his church. As a matter of fact, as I was in one of my Bible reading times coming into the new year, you know, I was reading a devotional, and one of the verses in the devotional just kind of popped off the page to me. And I believe it was God speaking to me for Canvas Church for 2019. And that verse is Exodus 34:10. I want to read it to you. And it says, "And the Lord responded, 'Look, I am making a covenant. I will perform wonders in the presence of all your people.'" Replace that word wonders, the same word as miracles. "I want to do miracles in the presence of all your people." How many of you guys want to see God do miracles in your church? Miracles in your life, miracles in your community, come on, your home, in your cities. God wants to do wonders in the presence of all your people that have never been done in all the earth or in any nation. All the people you live among will see the Lord's work. And I love that part of this verse because the whole point isn't for people to see miracles. The whole point is for people to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to see him and to see his work. And this is my favorite part of the verse, and I've been saying this at home. It's become kind of a phrase of ours. "For what I'm doing with you is awe-inspiring." Isn't that awesome? God wants to do something awe-inspiring in your life. He wants to do something awe-inspiring in this community. He wants to do something awe-inspiring in and through you. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to me. The plans that God has for you are absolutely amazing. The provisions that God has for you are absolutely amazing. What God wants to do in and through your life, listen to me now, is awe-inspiring. I want you to get that in your spirit, and I want you to believe that, and I want you to contend for that. And I want you to think about that often in 2019, that what God is doing in us is awe-inspiring. I believe that, but here's something you need to understand. First of all, if you don't have your notes out yet, get out your notes right now because there's some fill-in-the-blanks coming up here. And so you can download the app by texting app to 858-943-2221. Or we have some paper ones. If you want paper notes, just lift your hand in the air right now, and we'll make sure that we get a paper note to you. There's some hands right there. They'll pass them down the row. God wants to do something awe-inspiring in his church this year. And it is our responsibility to position ourselves to receive what he wants to do. Now, I want you to hear that because there's two parts to that. God wants to do something awe-inspiring. He has positioned himself to do something awe-inspiring. All the thoughts that God has towards you are good thoughts. They're not of evil. Man, they're good thoughts. He wants to do something. There's a second part to that, though. We must now, as the church, it's our responsibility to position ourselves to receive what he wants to do. And thus, we've been in this renewed series talking about, okay, God, you want to do something? Man, let our vision be renewed. Let our purpose be renewed. Let our faith be renewed. What a powerful verse and thought that my wife brought earlier in the worship time that God, okay, I believe, but there's some areas of my life that I'm still walking in unbelief. Would you heal that so I could walk in? He wants to renew our faith so that we can obtain the incredible things, the awe-inspiring things that he wants to do. And so today, I want to talk to you on the idea of renewed miracles for the church. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a particular book in the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament. I want you to turn there. It's called the Book of Judges. And the reason it's called the Book of Judges is because it chronicles the life of several different judges in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, there's three predominant figures, positions that God used in the Old Testament to speak to his people. One of those was prophets. God would use prophets, he would deliver a message to them, and then they would in turn deliver that message to the people. That message is oftentimes correctional. It was oftentimes directional, and so God would use these prophets. Other figures God would use is God would use kings in the Old Testament. And so it was always God's desire to be the king of his people, the king of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And yet out of the cry of those people, they looked at the other nations and they said, we want a king just like they have a king. And so God granted them their desire, and therefore they had some good kings and they had some wicked kings. And so as you read through the Old Testament, you're going to see the rise and fall of kings and therefore the rise and fall of kingdoms. The good kings were those whose hearts were turned towards God and loyal towards him. And the wicked ones were those that were far from him. And we see that the nation of Israel would be swayed according to the kings. Well, other figures that he used in Scripture in the Old Testament is judges. And therefore, we have the book of Judges. And one particular judge that I like to read about and that's always popped off the page to me is one named Gideon that we're going to read about today in Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6, we're going to pick up Gideon's story as he's being commissioned now as a judge. What's taken place up until this point is that God's people, the children of Israel, have done wickedness in the sight of God. They're worshiping other gods. They're living like other nations. And so because of that, God turns them over to their wickedness, and God turns them over to the judgment of other nations. So now there's many nations that have positioned themselves against the children of Israel. And so we're going to see in this story that because of that, God's people are scared for their life. They're hiding out. They're hiding all their possessions and their goods because they don't want it to get stolen, okay? But what happens in this story is God shows up on the scene, raises up a judge named Gideon. What's so awesome about this story is the transition that happens in Gideon's life from where he's at, what we're going to read, to what he becomes. And what he becomes is a judge of the nation and delivers them out of the hands of the Midianites and brings them to a place of freedom. And it's such a powerful story because all of a sudden Gideon now raises up an army, not of thousands, but he gets an army of 300, and he goes and defeats armies of tens of thousands. It's a miracle story. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11, and it says, "The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide it from the Midianites." So here he is. Here's Gideon doing his daily chores, had to thresh out the wheat, get it ready for meal. But he didn't do it publicly. He did it hidden. He was scared for his life, and he was scared that the possessions would be taken. Verse 12. "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now, does that strike anybody as unusual there? Right? Because here's Gideon hiding, and he's not fighting. He's not warring. He's fearful for his life. He's hiding in a wine press. But the very first thing God does, God shows up on the scene. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, mighty warrior." You know what I love about that? I love that God never sees us the way we see ourselves. I love the fact that God does not show up and say, "Yo, coward. Yo, wimp. Why are you hiding out there? Don't you know?" See, God never sees us the way we see ourselves. He saw himself as one that needed to be scared and hide it out. God shows up on the scene and immediately declares to him, "No, this is who you really are. You're a mighty warrior." And I want you to know something. It doesn't matter how you see yourself today. You might see yourself as defeated. You might see yourself as a victim. You might see yourself as less than. You might see yourself in some other way, but that is not the way God sees you. God sees you as his son. God sees you as his daughter. God sees you as a victor, not a victim. God sees you as righteous, not a sinner. God sees you as the head and not the tail. It doesn't matter the way you see yourself today. Come on, when God shows up and his presence shows up and begins to speak into your life, come on, he begins to speak to you the way he sees you, not the way you see yourself. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir." Listen now, listen to this response. Listen to this question. "If the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened?" What's all this? This is they're living in defeat. They're living in despair. They're hiding out in caves and in wine presses, and this is it. Why has all of this happened? Listen to the next question. "And where are all his wonders?" Your translation might say miracles. "Where are all his miracles?" Listen now, "that our fathers told us about." Where are the miracles? In other words, he equates God being with them on what God does through his supernatural power. And it's the same thing, I believe, that distinguishes the church today from every other organization and every other entity. Listen, if there is no power in this, thank you for wasting an hour and a half of your life every Sunday morning. If with God not all things are possible, then welcome to a cushy chair. Listen, what separates the church today, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it is in power. It is the power of God working through his church, the power of God working through you and I, the power of God, the miracles, the wonders, the awe-inspiring thing that sets us apart from every other organization and entity in the whole entire world. Because if you came to hear me speak, you can hear a lot of better speakers somewhere else. Let me rephrase that. You can hear some better speakers somewhere else. Let's be honest. Don't want to lie in church. Listen, what sets us apart is the miraculous power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords working for us and working in us and working through us. You might be sitting here today and maybe you're wondering, whatever's going on in your life, God, if you're for me, where is the answer to this? God, where's the healing for this? God, where are all the miracles? I heard about them. Pastor tells me about them often. I've heard him mention it. We've had some incredible miracles take place in our church just in the last year. I heard him talk about it, but where is it for me? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not sending you? I don't know where in that passage there is strength. But again, God doesn't see us the way we see ourselves. God doesn't even see us the way some other people see us. God sees us through a different lens. God sees us through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of the cross, all things are possible. I'm sending you, verse 15. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. It's not the way God sees them. There's an identity issue, isn't there? How can I be that person that you're talking about? You got the wrong guy. I'm the youngest in my family. To be honest with you, between you and I, my family, we ain't all that great. But I will be with you, the Lord said to him. You will strike Midian down as if it were one man. Then he said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, give me a sign. And this whole thing goes on, and Gideon prepares a meal, and it's pretty cool stuff. But we're going to jump to verse 24. Verse 24. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it Yahweh Shalom. It is in Ophrah of the Abizarites until today. And on that very night, the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull and second bull, 7 years old, then tear down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Build a well-constructed altar to the Lord, your God. And on the top of this rock, take the second bull and offer it as burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his male servants and did as the Lord had told him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, your word is absolutely amazing. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that God, you would speak to every person in this place. God, I believe there are some that came today specifically believing for a miracle. And I pray that today would be the day they get that miracle. God, others walked into this place, not even realize what they were walking into. But Lord, I pray that they would see you as the good God you really are. Lord, I pray you'd help me now in the next few moments we have together, Lord, to create a place for people to encounter your son, Jesus. Know your love and understand you have a life of power and miracles for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. There was a photographer got hired to take some pictures of some trees, and so he rushes off to the airport, gets on the tarmac, small plane, jumps on the first one, gets in, he says, okay, let's take off. Plane immediately takes off, gets in the air. As soon as it's in the air, the photographer looks over at the pilot and says, okay, now fly really low right over there over those trees so I can get some pictures. And the pilot was like, excuse me? He's like, come on, man, I don't have time. I need to get these pictures to the magazine. Just fly right over there, over those trees, so I can take a picture. The pilot with a shaky voice says, you mean you're not my flight instructor? Let's pause for effect. You know, a lot of things can go wrong when there's mistaken identity. A lot of things can go really south very quickly when there is mistaken identity. And here in Judges chapter 6, we have a case of mistaken identity. We have a man named Gideon who has absolutely no realization of not only who he is, but who his people are. He is clueless. Not only does he not understand who he is or who his people are, because he doesn't understand who he is and who his people are, he's now questioning the God of his fathers. If you are with us, then where are all the miracles that my granddaddy told me about? Where's all the wonders? Where's all the miracles? Where's all the awe-inspiring things? I mean, come on, if you're really with us, where are those at? It all goes back to the fact that he not only misunderstood who his people were, but he misunderstood who he was. Listen to me. God wants to do miracles for his church. God wants to renew miracles within you and I. But more than just renewing miracles within us and doing miracles for us, he wants us to understand who we are in him so that we can be a part of the miracles that he wants to do. Because listen to me, God could show up and he could do all the miracles in the world, but what would that matter if you lose your soul? God cares more about you understanding that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings than he does about doing miracles for you. But once you understand that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, watch out. Miracles are going to begin to flow through your life. Because he's called you to a life of power. He's called you to a life of wonders. He wants to do something awe-inspiring in his church. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God wants to do that in and through your life. He wants to do it. He's called us to it. And the story is so intriguing to me because it goes from a place of obscurity where Gideon is hiding out to Gideon having his identity revealed to him to Gideon rising up that night and doing something significant to honoring God to going on this journey, if you were to read on, of defeating the armies of Midian. It's a powerful story. But I think one of the things that intrigues me the most is that Gideon questions whether or not God is there based on the lack of signs and wonders. And maybe you're here today and you're wondering, God, if you're really for me, God, if you're really with me, God, if you're really real, maybe your question sounds a little bit like Gideon's. Where are all the miracles? I mean, we can read about them in Scripture. Pastor Ben can rehearse them and say that they happened. I didn't see it. What's amazing to me is some people actually experience a miracle. And then within months, where are they? But what he wants us to understand is who we are in him, so that we can continue to be a part of the miracles over and over and over and over again. Where are the miracles? And this sends Gideon on a journey, and I want to take us on this journey a little bit today. Because out of that question, it's interesting to me, but what's even more interesting to me is how the angel of the Lord responds in the trajectory that Gideon goes on. Because I believe in order for miracles to be renewed in the church, the same thing that happened in Gideon has to happen in us. And the first thing is this, you have to realize there's a calling. Number one, there's a calling. There's a calling. We see in Gideon's story here that there is a calling. Gideon wasn't looking for anything. Matter of fact, Gideon was hiding out in the wine press, doing his daily chores, threshing out the wheat. Yeah, I got to make sure it doesn't get stolen. Got to make sure that, they don't come and take my stuff. And not only that, they don't kill me. So I'm just going to hide out. I'm just minding my own business, doing my own thing. And in the middle of minding his own business and doing his own thing, the angel of the Lord shows up and calls him. Doesn't call him as he sees himself, but calls him as God saw him. Mighty warrior. There's a calling that takes place. Listen to me, this calling is so important. This calling is so important. For us to see ourselves the way that God sees us is so important because the way we see ourselves says more about him than it does about us. The way we see, if we see ourselves as a victim, it says more about the God we serve than it does about us. It says, God, you're not good enough to change my circumstance. God, you're not good enough to vindicate me. God, you're not good enough to be my adversary. If we continue to look through the lens of being a victim over and over and over again, listen to me, you are saying more about your Heavenly Father than you are about yourself. It's so important that as God's people, we understand as the church, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, it's so important that we understand who we are and we see ourselves with the proper lens. Got to see ourselves. Listen to me. You are not a victim. You are a victor. Amen. You are not a sinner. The Bible says you become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you're the head and not the tail. Why are these verses in there? Why does the Bible have to come and remind us that we're the head and not the tail? Because we have a tendency to look at ourselves like the tail. We have a tendency to look at ourselves through this lens of defeat and victimhood. But God says, no, 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 you're my son, you're my daughter. You need to see yourself as a mighty warrior. You need to see yourself as righteous. You need to see yourself as healed. You need to see yourself full of grace and full of life because that's who I've called you to be. When we begin to see ourselves this way, it says more about him than it does about us. Listen to me, because Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty warrior, he lived a life of defeat. He lived a life hidden in a wine press. He lived an identity that wasn't his. You know, I see this all the time in believers because we don't recognize who we are in Christ. We don't recognize that the power and the authority that's available to us as believers, we live hidden in something else. We live a life hidden in subculture. We live a life hidden in identities and in trying to find our security in job places and trying to find our security in relationships and trying to find security in accolades and successes and trying to find our security in status. Are you with me this morning? But we aren't to be hidden in those things. We aren't to be hidden in a wine press, just milling around. No, we're to live a life of victory. We're to live a life of, a mighty warrior. Are you with me this morning? This is what God's called us to. This is the life that he has for us. Matter of fact, the only place we're to be hidden, the Bible says in Colossians 3, the only place we're to be hidden is in Christ Jesus himself. Colossians 3:3 says, man, this life I'm living now, man, it's hidden with God in Christ Jesus. That's where I'm hidden. That's where I'm hiding out. That way when the enemy looks at me, he sees him. Are you with me? You need to hear this today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But listen, man, you want to see the miracles of God, Gideon? You want to see the miraculous? You want to see signs and wonders? You want to see me do something awe-inspiring? Well, here's what I need you to do. I need you to understand who you are. Church, do you know who you are? You got to know who you are if you want to see the works of God. There's a calling that takes place. There's a calling that takes place. What are you hiding in today? Secondly, what takes place as he asks the question, where are all the miracles? Gideon, know who you are. Secondly, what takes place is there's a cleansing. There's a cleansing that takes place. Gideon, I want you to go in this strength of yours, and I want you to deliver the people from the hand of Midian. I love that. I love that part of the verse. Because here's the thing, what God is doing in you is not for you. What God is doing in you is for those that are around you. When God shows up and you begin to discover who you are, what you're gonna realize, it ain't for you. It ain't just so you can be like, sweet. Man, I'm mighty. I'm a warrior. And I ain't taking the battlefield, right? No, the whole point of mighty warrior means you got to go to battle. And he ain't fighting for himself. He's fighting for a whole entire nation. He's fighting for some people. And listen to me, when God calls you and God begins to do something great and significant in your life, it is not so that you can have something great and insignificant done in your life. It is so that you can rise up and the power that he has put inside of you so you can go and impact those around you. So that those around you can be set free and those around you can be delivered and those around you can find freedom. It's not about you having this great joyride. It's about you experiencing that so you can be influential in your culture. You can be influential in your job place, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your cities, and in your church. That's the whole point. Listen, I've said it as we've been making our journey towards this building. Man, having a building sounds great, right? So we don't have to do set up and pack up, right? And the only thing I envision myself is like, who's gonna clean those 25,000 square feet? I just see myself like this all week long, like praying as I'm vacuuming, listening to the Bible on headphones, because I can't read it no more, because I got 25,000 square feet to clean. Two vacuums. I don't know if they make a riding vacuum cleaner, but I'm getting one. Make some fun out of that, right? It's one of our core values, fun. Enjoying the journey. I'm gonna invent one. Somebody patent that real quick. My idea. But listen to me. If we're just getting a building for building's sake, then let's stay in the theater. But if we're getting a building, if God's providing this building so that we can be more influential and free up our time so we can minister to more people and see more people come to experience the grace of God and the knowledge that he's their savior, then by all means, God, we want a building. Listen, if all we're doing is crying out, God, do miracles, do something awe-inspiring in me. Who cares? But if what God's doing in you helps somebody else find freedom, helps somebody else find life, helps somebody else find their miracle and their healing and their deliverance, are you with me this morning? Gideon, go in this strength of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Okay, what do you want me to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tear down the altar of Baal. Why? Because before I can do any mighty works in and through your life, there's gotta be a cleansing. Once you go tear down the altar of Baal, listen to what it says though. Very, very significant. That belongs to your father. See, a lot of things that we need broken down in our life, a lot of cleansing that needs to take place in our life, oftentimes isn't even because of something you did, but there's something that's been passed down. And I don't know what it is for you. It could be anything, but a lot of times we don't even realize it's there. Oh, you want to know where the miracles are at, Gideon? I'll tell you where the miracles are at. Go tear down that altar. Church, you want to see miracles happen in your life? You want to see awe and wonder and awe-inspiring things? I'll tell you what to do. Go tear down some idols that are in your life. Get rid of some junk that's in your life, that's been collecting there, that you've been worshiping, that you've been allowing to take place. Get rid of that. Then let's talk about some miracles. See, you gotta understand something. God wants to do miracles in the church. I believe that with all my heart. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not just in word, it's in power. Power belongs to the church. And he wants to do it. And that's what God does. There's divine sovereignty, that which God does, but then there's human responsibility, that which we must do. And what God is asking of us, he's saying, hey, I want you to keep the vessel clean. Hey, I want you to look right here, man, and I want you to tear down some idols that are in your life. When those idols are pulled out of your life, say, Pastor, what idols are you talking about? I don't know what your idols are. Whatever dominates your time, your affection, and creates culture in you, that's your idol. What's your idol? I don't know what your idol is. It could be different for you, different for me. But what is the idol in your life? Said, I want you to tear down the altar of Baal. Got to be a cleansing. You want miracles? I'll do the miracles. I'll do my part. But church, I need you to do your part. And when divine sovereignty and human responsibility collide, and something miraculous takes place. Something miraculous takes place. So I want you to go tear that down. But notice he doesn't just say, I want you to tear the idol down. The Bible says, I want you to take that Asherah pole. I want you to chop that up. I want you to use that as kindling for an offering to me. The Asherah pole. We talk a lot about maybe idols in scripture and what an idol is, and here today that could represent something different for all of us. But what is the Asherah pole? The Asherah pole actually identified a place of worship. The Asherah pole itself wasn't the idol. The Asherah pole was like a sign place that this is the doorway. Once you cross here and once you pass this Asherah pole, you're now in the place of worship. It is the gateway to the idol. And see, I've come to realize that as a believer, me personally, guys, just be personally, I'll just talk about me. When I had idols erected in my life and God pinpoints that, I've seen that thing crumble. I've repented. God, forgive me for that. But God wants to take it a step further, and he wants you to go to the doorway, the gateway that took you to that thing. Why is it that your affection for God has now been placed on your affection for this? What is the door? What is the gateway? We need to go, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about it. And he's talking in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about, hey, look, it's not just if you have anger, or not if you just murder somebody, it's if you have anger in your heart toward, what is that? That's the gateway to the action. It's not just if you commit adultery. You've committed adultery in your heart if you look at that person and you have lust. Now that's Jesus talking, New Testament. He says, I want you to take play down not only the altar, I want you to go back further. What's the doorway? What's the Asherah pole? That God, and if we don't deal with the Asherah pole, we might deal with the idol, but in the back of our mind, we always know we have a place we can go back to. Got to deal with. I want you to take that. There's got to be a cleansing. And can I just go here for a moment? One thing I've come to realize as a pastor, and I've done it myself, is that oftentimes we focus on the cleansing of the world rather than the cleansing of the church. And we want the world to be cleansed. But when I read my Bible, ladies and gentlemen, he's not coming back for a pure, spotless world. He's coming back for a pure, spotless church. He's coming back for a church that is spotless, without blemish or wrinkle, the Bible says. He's not coming back for a pure, spotless world, but man, things happen, such as this last week in a state in New York, and say, hey, full term, abortion, it's legal. Like, you know, like the baby's full term, it's legal. Anybody seen that on the news? Anybody been on social media? And all of a sudden, I see the church get angry and begin to rise up. And listen, if it takes something like that to get the church to pray, then man, at least we're heading in the right direction. But listen to me, we are not going to change the world. He's going to change the world through us. But listen, we're not going to change culture by railing against culture. Culture is going to be changed when we look right here and we say, God, cleanse me. God, cleanse this vessel. God, make sure that there's no wicked way in me. Listen, it shouldn't shock us, church, when all of a sudden the world makes a decision that looks worldly. Shouldn't shock us. Should we be grieved? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit grieved by that which is being passed down? Absolutely. But listen to me, how we handle this will either cast judgment or it'll create a doorway of love and acceptance. And a lot of what I've seen going around on social media is judgment. But what about all the people that have already had an abortion? And they're looking at all these posts, angry. What's that creating inside of those individuals? When we can promote a message the same way, but promote it out of love. Somebody with me? Because here's something you need to understand, and I think we miss it sometimes, is we get so angry at things like that. Man, I can't believe they're gonna shed innocent blood. That baby has no control over what takes place. But I believe that what God wants to do is cleanse us. Because here's what you understand. This is like, as I was reading all these posts, and this is, I just want to share this with you, because as I was reading all these posts, I had something formulated, but I have a good wife and I've had good mentors that say, stay away from the politics, focus on Jesus. Had so many things, I just deleted it. And I'm so glad I did, because the last time I deleted my post, the Holy Spirit said, Ben, turn to Proverbs 6:16. Because as grieved as people are about that, there are actually six things I hate. Some of you don't even know this verse exists. But you know the Bible says there's six things that God hates? Let me read them to you. Proverbs 6:16 says, the Lord hates six things, changes his mind. In fact, seven are detestable to him. Listen to it. Very first one mentioned. Six things he hates. Arrogant eyes. What's that? That's pride. Arrogance. Six things he hates. The very first one mentioned, arrogance, pride. So here would be my question. It's getting quiet in here. Here's my question. Are you as grieved about arrogance and pride as you are about the shedding of innocent blood? Oh, Pastor, you can't put those on the same plane. I didn't. He did. Listen. The Lord hates six things. Arrogant eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, lying witness who gives false testimony, and anyone who stirs up trouble among brothers. Some of you are struggling with that right now. Pastor, there's no way you can put what's happening in New York on the same level as someone that has arrogance. I didn't. He did. And he hates what's happening in New York. But when he looks at his church, he hates arrogance and pride and lying.
Check, check. For those of you that were here for the first service, anybody here for the first service? Some of you, okay. Now, we had so many tech issues in the first service. Tons. The lights got possessed and they're like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Seriously, they were. And then we unplugged the power and they kept doing it. No, that didn't happen, but that would be like, whoa. That was a good one, huh? I'll just be honest with you, because I believe in the spirit realm. And every time we come into like, man, we're gonna believe and contend for miracles, it's like everything that can go wrong goes wrong. And that's why I checked the donuts for you to make sure they were okay. You're welcome. So Gideon, you want to know where the miracles are at? You need to know who you are. Gideon, you want miracles that your father talked about? Here's what needs to happen. There needs to be a cleansing. And this is not a time to point fingers at the world. This is a time for the church to look at themselves and say, okay, God, you're coming back for a pure, spotless bride. Then look at me, search me, try me. If there's any wickedness in me, God, get it out, because I want to be cleansed and I want to be positioned for you to flow through my life and do miracles. See, a lot of you, it's not a miracle question. It's an idol question. What idols have been resurrected in your life? It's time to tear those things down so that you can create some space for God to move. Lastly, what we see, he not only got called, worship team, you can call me. He not only had to go through this place of cleansing, but man, it's 11:51. I wonder some of you are looking at your watch. I saw some people like, just wait till we have a building. You'd be like, it is 2:00. How can dude talk that long? Not only is there a cleansing, there's a creating. Creating. What's created? Look at what he does. Tears down the altar. Oh, that was powerful. What was that? Just one more thing. It's awesome. Ready to jam. He not only tears down the altar, he erects an altar to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say, God, this is what's so awesome. He burns the place of worship. He burns the idol. Remember, he burns the place of worship. Because the Bible says in John chapter 4, there is coming a day that you will neither worship on this mountain or in this place. For those who come to worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. Because it's not about a place of worship, it's about a person of worship. It's not about where you worship, it's about who you worship. So Gideon, I want you to destroy that. And I want you to create an altar to me, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again, you can never make God move in your life, but you can always make room for God to move in your life. Lord, we thank you so much for your word.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.